Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on swine flu vaccine right after this. You know, this genocidal policy of Global 2000 and the New World Order are the greatest threats to our lives, our liberties, and our property since Noah's flood. And you know, that's not just my opinion. Jesus of Nazareth held that same view when he said in Matthew 24, verse 22, that except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. Now, there are 64 of these life-threatening problems described in the scripture detailing this New World Order and their Global 2000 genocide agenda. Now, the scripture teaches preparation for this great tribulation, not just apathy and indifference. That's why I contend that it's time that you and I wise up and start listening more to the God of Israel and stop following after all these crazy scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians. And let's prepare to live through and survive this Global 2000 New World Order nightmare. Now, to do just that, why don't you call and ask for our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. And remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and best of all, it's free of charge. You can call and order one right now. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, we also teach a subsistence and survival school, which is available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org. Now remember, that free general law CD package is on our website now, and you can download it off of that page, or you can stream it and watch it right there on your computer in the privacy of your own home, and I don't even have to send it to you in a plain brown package. All right, we're on swine flu vaccine. Last time we asked the question, why does your front door face the street? Why does the front of your house face the street? Well, that's about as wild a question as asking, well, why do you get vaccinated? Everybody gets vaccinated. 88% of us will get vaccinated. But why? That was my question. Why? Now, most people, you know, if you said, why are you a Catholic? They'd say, well, because it's the only logical decision to make. But I pointed out last time, you know, about 99% of Catholics are Catholics because they're born that way. You'll go a long, long time before you find one that's a proselyte, one that decided for himself. You know, I've looked into religion, I've educated myself, I've looked at all of them, and the correct religion is Catholicism, and that's the one I'm selecting. Well, there's some people out there that have done that, but it's rare, really rare. So most of what we believe because that's what we've been taught, but does that mean that because we've been taught that it's true, accurate, and correct? No, come on, you're a Democrat, and you're not a Democrat because you sat down one day and you said, I'm going to do a long study of politics and come to a conclusion. Same thing with communists in Russia. You know, those people over there, they believe you people in the West have got your heads up the wrong end. The people in the West say, hey, you communists over there have your heads up the wrong end. And it's not because people have looked into it, it's because that's the way they've been taught and trained from childhood. Could it be that we've been taught and trained in this vaccine program from childhood, but it really doesn't have any logical basis behind it? That's my contention. So last time, when we concluded the first section or the first hour of this discussion, I told you about Dr. Eleanor McBean, who lived through the 1918 influenza epidemic, testified as far as she could find out, the flu hit only the vaccinated people. Well, that's not quite true. The vaccinated people were the ones that she was observing, and I pointed that out. In this country, we vaccinate everybody, well, everybody we can get our hands on for the polio virus, but there haven't been any native strain or the old strain polio virus. All of the polio cases that come up in the United States come from the vaccine. You can't get polio in the United States unless you have the vaccine. Every person who will get polio this year will be vaccinated, which just tells us that the vaccine does not prevent polio. It causes 69 cases. So somebody's going to say, well, see how successful the program is. See, everybody gets vaccinated and only 69 get polio. You know, Americans have been dumbed down now for so long, I'm not sure that we can really figure this out. I'm not sure the average Joe Sixpack here, much less the doctors out here that are administering this. Now, the doctor has a conflict of interest. So when you ask the doctor, hey, why are we getting these vaccines? You know, when he's sitting there giving you a line of BS, he's got some money invested in it. I mean, he's got his money out there on the table. The rest of us over here are the ones that are putting the money up for the doctor to rake in. So I'm not sure that doctors are really the people that we ought to be asking this question of. And I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't have a seat at the table here, but, you know, when somebody's got a vested interest, you know about how he's going to vote, don't you? Man, who do you think Barack Obama voted for in the 2008 election? I mean, come on, let's wake up and smell a coffee here. Now, this lady, Dr. McBean, says, my family had refused all the vaccinations, so we remained well all of the time. Now, here's a lady and her family had no vaccination. Now, this 1918 swine flu was pretty virulent. There were 2 billion people in the world. 2 billion, that's a bunch. 50% of them came down with this strain of flu. That is phenomenal. That's one out of every 2 people in the entire world got sick from this flu. And one out of every 20 people died from it. Now, that's 5%. Now, of the people who got the flu, actually got sick with it, your chances of dying were 1 in 10. That's phenomenal. There's been nothing like it in the history of mankind. The bubonic plague never did that. Your chances of dying from bubonic or pneumonic plague was never 1 in 10. I mean, it was virulent. Now, last time I said, you know, people are concerned about getting killed in car wrecks and tornadoes and hurricanes. And we take some preventive precautions. We buckle our seat belts. We put storm shelters in. You know, we buy hurricane insurance, and we leave the hurricane area and go inland. But when it comes to this disease over here, there's not a hell of a lot that we know of that we can do. But what if I could tell you something that you could do? Now, I'm not going to get my flu vaccine, and I'm not going to get the flu. Now, how do you like that? Pretty damn cocky and arrogant, ain't I? Now, remember, I told you there's 19 health laws. Now, I practice these 19 health laws, so I'm going to get cocky. I'm going to write that down, 19 health laws here. Come back to that. All right, now let's take a look here at scare tactics. It's quite normal for the medical establishment to bash the public with improbable stories of the past and then carrot stick them with future fears, saying things like this. And so this story about the 1918 swine flu is one of the 5 means that we use to sell you something. So write this down: vanity, jealousy, lust, greed, and fear. And this flu vaccine is being sold by fear. So that makes sense. I'm going to appeal to your vanity. Wouldn't you like to live here in Bellwood Estates? I'm going to ply you with jealousy. Hey, Bob's got one. How come you don't? Lust. Hey, wouldn't you like to have one of those Fleetwoods? Greed. Hey, everybody else is making a killing in the stock market. Don't you think it's time for you to get your share? And then fear. That's why we buy insurance. That's why we get driver's licenses. And we're afraid of the outcome. Now, this swine flu that's coming up, it could well be as bad as the last one. In fact, I got to tell you a little story here. I'm suspicious about this swine flu story. I'm suspicious. Of course, I'm from Missouri now. See, back in, I guess it's 2005. It's been about 3 years ago, maybe 4. Some guy, some doctor, some scientist, I forgot where he was from now, he goes over to Norway and he digs up a body over there, a guy that had died from the Spanish flu. See, over in Norway and Alaska and places like that, you can do this. Because see, when they bury people, they dig the holes in the summertime, then they bury them. And they bury them in the permafrost. Tell those people, they don't ever decay. They're just frozen there forever. Well, you know, for a long time. So he goes over there, takes his frozen body, thaws it out, and then gets some tissue samples, and he pulls out this Spanish flu. Now remember, this Spanish flu killed 5% of the people on planet Earth. Now here in the United States, remember I mentioned, we didn't suffer near as bad a fatality rate over here in the United States. And that's because of health and hygiene. And health and hygiene goes a long ways to preventing disease. Clean people don't get as sick nor as often as people that live dirty. And so only 1.5% of the people in this country that got the flu died. 5% died worldwide. 40% of the people of America got the flu, but only 600,000 died. But worldwide, 1 billion people got the flu, and 5% of them died. Boy, that's kind of scary. Now, of the people who got the flu, 10% of them died. Remember, half of them didn't get the flu, half of them did. But of the half that did, 100,000 or 100 million of them died. That's 10% of 1 billion. Now, that's scary. I don't deny it. But I'm going to be one of the 9 that isn't going to die because clean, you know, cleanliness is next to godliness. And then you got these 19 health laws over here, and if you practice that, you won't get sick. All right, now let's take a look at these scare tactics. Scientists believe the 1918 virus got into the human population by mutating from bird flu. possibly after passing through pigs, which are able to harbor both human and avian viruses and thus allow them to swap genes as the viruses reproduce. And for that reason, experts are deeply concerned that the avian flu that has broken out in poultry flocks in parts of Southeast Asia may acquire genes that will make it highly infectious as well as lethal for humans. Now, let me tell you what's going on here with this avian flu. First of all, it broke out in Thailand, where they've got a bunch of these factory farms. And this swine flu broke out down in Yucatan in Mexico, in an area where they've got one of these big pig farms. Let's see if I got the name of it here. Factory farm in Mexico. Yeah, it was a big factory farm. And Smithfield Farms, as I believe, if I remember right, is the company that owns it. That's where they've got thousands of pigs in a confined area, really dirty, really confined. And that's where you find disease. Whenever you've got people confined, the disease rate goes up. Same thing with animals. So I'm suspicious. Now, I don't know whether these guys are going to turn this loose on us on purpose or whether it's going to get out of hand. But if you'll take a look at Revelation chapter 6 and you take a look at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, notice that one-fourth of the people on planet Earth are going to die from this. This is going to get real serious, real bad, real fast. Real serious, real bad, and real fast. So that's what makes me a little bit suspicious. And then there's one more little factor that I want to factor in here. It's from the 10th Protocol of the Learned Elders of Zion. It says here, to wear everyone out by dissensions, animosities, feuds, famine, inoculation of diseases, want, until the Gentiles see no other way of escape except an appeal to our money and power. So remember, I said I'm a little bit suspicious here. So I got Revelation 6, and I got the 10th protocol. And then I've got this mad scientist. Now let's think about this guy for a minute. He goes over to Norway, digs up a body, comes back, and puts the Spanish flu into a bottle. Now, when was the last time you went down to the flu store and ordered a bottle of Spanish flu? What in the hell are we going to do with that? I guess it's technologically innovative to go dig up a body and pull that swine flu out, put it into a bottle, and say, hey, look what I've done. I guess maybe if you're a biologist or something, that's probably pretty heady stuff. But I'm just a crummy farmer, and I really don't want to buy any of that. And I don't know if anybody else wants to buy it either. And it would seem like to me that something as deadly as the most deadly disease on planet Earth ought to be left buried in the ground. That's just a farmer talking now, but it seems like to me that that would be the logical thing to do. You know, if we get anthrax or hoof and mouth disease, we dig a big pit, throw our cows in them, burn them up, and bury them. We try to eradicate the disease by burning it. Now, I just wanted to throw something else out here at you. Now that this scientist, just Joe Sixpack scientist, goes over and pulls out the most deadly disease that's ever come up in the history of the world, do you think that maybe the United States Army, you know, their biological weapons section, you think maybe one of those guys might have read that in the newspaper or saw it on Brian Williams on the NBC Evening News? And maybe it jogged his memory, and do you think maybe the United States Army might have done the same thing so that they might have in their arsenal the most deadly disease in the history of the world? Well then, if the Americans did that, do you think maybe the Ruskies might have done it too? Do you think that maybe the Russians are sitting over there saying, listen, you got this American scientist, goes over to Norway, digs up a dead body, puts Spanish flu in a bottle. Do you think maybe the American Army might have done that? Maybe we Ruskies over here, we ought to do this. You think maybe the Russians did it? Just kind of, maybe they did it and said, hey, maybe the Americans haven't thought of this yet. Maybe we're the first guys to think about using Spanish flu as a biological weapon. I don't know, maybe the Russians are dumber than we give them credit for. Well, what about the Chinese? Do you think maybe the Chinese might have read that story someplace and some Chinese general said, hey, listen, this sounds like a pretty good idea. Maybe we ought to do the same thing. How about the North Koreans? Hey, here's an even wilder thought. What about Osama bin Laden? Do you think maybe one of them terrorists, you know, one of them raghead terrorists up there in the desert, might have read that, seen that, heard that, or thought about it, thunk it up, and said, hey, why don't we get a bottle of Spanish flu so that we can punish the great Satan? Hey, what about the Iranians? You think maybe they might have thunk that up? I mean, come on, guys, let's wake up and smell the coffee here. Everybody in the world by this date now has that Spanish flu in their arsenal. Now, do you think that's good for us farmers and truck drivers and housewives out here? Now, they asked this guy, hey, why are you doing this? He said, well, we might need a vaccine. Vaccine for what? Spanish flu. The Spanish flu has been dead and buried in the ground for pushing 100 years. You had to go dig it up. I mean, hell, you had to go halfway across the world, around the world here, to go find somebody, dig it up, and put it in a bottle. If you'd have just left it alone, it wasn't a problem in 1940, 50, or 60. All right, so there you are. That's why I'm a little suspicious about these guys. And I'm not sure that they got our best interests at heart. All right, so now, This kind of speculation is, simply put, speculation. Beliefs without substance. A good storyline to scare naive people with. We can as easily believe the vaccines themselves killed hundreds of thousands of people because the pharmaceutical manufacturers had not developed safeguards or sufficient technology to ensure quality control. Has it occurred to us that back in 1918 they didn't have thimerosal and they didn't have the kind of quality control? Now that they actually spread that flu around the world by vaccinating millions of people. Has that ever occurred to anybody? Just thought I'd throw it out there. Now, the proposals that I'm watching here on the news and reading about in my papers, they say, hey, they got trials going in several locations, eight locations here in the United States, and this fall they're going to have it out there and they're going to vaccinate everybody. That's what they're aiming at. Now, that's what they did back in 1918 and 1919. They got out there with the needles and they started vaccinating people, and my God, that thing got loose. And you got the story, didn't you? So I just thought I'd throw that out there and ask you, are you really sure you want to go and get a shot now, huh? Last time we tried this, we got a result that came from it. We got a result. We're out here vaccinating people like crazy. Got a bad result. You think you're going to get a better result this time around? Now, scientists believe the 1918 virus leapt to humans by mutating from bird flu, possibly after passing through pigs, which are able to harbor both human and avian viruses and thus allow them to swap genes as the viruses reproduce. For that reason, experts are deeply concerned that the avian flu that has broken out in poultry flocks in parts of Southeast Asia may acquire genes that will make it highly infectious as well as lethal for humans. Now, that's a reason why you shouldn't be eating pig. Now, remember, God told you not to eat pig. Didn't tell you not to eat chicken, told you not to eat pig. Now, do you really think you ought to be eating these chickens that come out of these these factory farms? You think you ought to be eating the beef that comes off these feedlots? Just got to throw that out there. Now, I don't think that it's all that good to eat. I mean, you might eat it once in a while. Don't you think you might be better served if you were to look for a different source of food, different food source than your local neighborhood supermarket? I know that's probably pretty wild and off the wall, but I'm going to throw it out there anyway. Now, influenza kills tens of thousands of people every year in this country. I think it's 36,000 a year die from the flu, just ordinary, everyday garden variety, and requires the hospitalization of about 250,000 people. In epidemic years, mortality can be in the millions, says Dr. Henry J. Miller, a fellow at the Hoover Institution. He's a former director of the Office of Biotechnology, who seems not to have read the CDC's publication, or their version, which puts the 1918 flu deaths at only 500. And Asian flu pandemic of 1957-58 at 70,000, and the Hong Kong flu epidemic or pandemic of 1968 at 34,000. That was 500,000, let's see, it was more like 50 million at the low end, 1918. You know, there's various estimates. Now, the various people that are selling the program, you know, have different numbers that they want to put on. They call it spin here in the United States. So, you know, when the president's news secretary is out, he said, well, that's their spin. Spin. That's their lie. Medical authorities, the media, and doctors like Miller tend to have statistical hallucinations this time of year. Miller goes on to suggest the FDA should also make it clear that although the labeling for flu mist, the nasal vaccine, indicates that it's intended for recipients aged 5 to 49 years, it'll likely also be effective in those younger or older. Flu mist was a disaster last year, not only because it's expensive, but because it's dangerous. And it comes with warnings that those who use it can become contagious for up to 21 days to those around them because of its live virus. Miller, in some kind of manic need to shore up his this year's flu campaign, would have it stuffed up the noses of babies, even though the FDA has indicated this isn't safe. Now, let me just think about this for a second. You go down here and you get this nasal mist, live virus, and you suck it in, and then you have to be quarantined for 21 days because you've not been infected with the live virus and you could be spreading it to other people. See, the purpose behind this vaccination theory is that if we give you a little of it, your immune system will recognize it and it'll overwhelm it, and then your immune system will know what it is, so when you get a big dose of it, it can deal with it. That's got a little merit to it. When God designed us, as opposed to having the miracle of random selection do this, when God designed you, he built you with an immune system, and your immune system protects you from disease. Now, when the white man got over here to North America, he brought with him smallpox, and it just decimated the natives over here because they didn't have any immunity to it. Europeans could handle smallpox pretty well, killed a bunch of people, no doubt about it, but most people could get by with the smallpox because they had some immunity to it. The natives over here didn't. Just wiped them out. Whole tribes of Indians just wiped them out. All right, now, if the theory is good and it's got some merit, And we're gonna vaccinate you. We're gonna indoctrinate you here to this virus. Is there some way that we could strengthen our immune system so that we don't have to have an exposure to the disease to give us the immunity? Or just kind of a wild thought here. Because in the Bible, there's a quarantine law. In the Bible, there's 19 health laws. There are some natural, normal diseases called childhood diseases that if you go through that process, and I'm one that went through it when I was a kid, we called these the childhood diseases, all of us that survived it have a lifetime immunity. And if you'll notice, we're not coming down with cancer and other diseases. Could it be that the vaccine program started in 1932 in the United States has destroyed the immunity of most of the Americans, or it has weakened their immunities to such a degree that we now have epidemics of heart disease, stroke, cancer, diabetes, and a whole host and plethora of diseases? Write me an email telling me about a heart attack and stroke are caused by bacteria. Hey, I'm aware of that. I'm just throwing out some ideas here for you because I'm going to cut you off here at the pass here pretty shortly. Let's start getting our brains to thinking here. Could it be that some of these degenerative diseases are actually being caused by a weakened immune system? And could it be that our immune systems are being weakened by vaccines? Just mull it over. I mean, that's almost as good a thought as how come your front door faces the street? Now, you do not know why your front door faces the street. You know that it does, and you know that everybody else's does, but there isn't anybody out there that knows why. There isn't any law that requires it. Now, just because everybody does it doesn't mean that everybody ought to do it. Now, let's take a look at some truth here behind the fear. It is clear, at least to naturopathic doctors, that people and young children die from the flu not because of the virus itself, but because they're already sick, and they're bearing heavy toxic burdens and have severely compromised immune systems. So what's happening here? You're already toxic. You're already sick. And now along comes the flu and overwhelms your immune system and you die from it. So your death certificate says, oh, you know, she was 72 years old and she died from the flu. This woman was probably constipated and she probably had an impaired immune system. And when the flu got her, her immune system couldn't cope with the toxic condition of her body and the flu. Has it ever occurred to us that maybe if we were to clean out our colons, maybe if we were to strengthen our immune systems, that our body's immune system could deal with the flu? Now, I'm an old man. I've never had a flu shot in my life, and I'm not going to get one, and I'm not going to get the flu. And yes, I am going to die. And then, hell, I might die from the flu. I hope I die at age 110 from the flu. Let's try another one. Allopathic doctors like Miller forget that most basic principles of health and disease because they don't care to look into the realities of the patients that they treat. They do not want to take the time to understand weaknesses in patients because they're eating too much sugar, or they're malnourished, or they're getting inadequate rest, or if they are suffering from intense emotional trauma, it's not being diagnosed. The flu salesmen, doctors, and the CDC multiply the danger and risk of viruses because without exaggerated stories, flu vaccines just would not sell, for the virus is not dangerous in and of itself. So what's happening here? 36,000 people a year die from the flu, no doubt about it. But wait a minute. Millions of people get the flu and don't die. The people that die from it are being overwhelmed because their immune systems can't deal with the flu and their other health problems. So the solution to the flu is strengthen your immune system. We'll talk more about that as we progress. All right, let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour and Editorial Review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, all of which can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Now, again, that's area code 417-273-4967. The sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. The Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program. We often endorse or recommend the books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that the authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications cited here on the Law Hour and Editorial Review may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, or the opinions of the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this radio network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the swine flu vaccine. They're making up big batches of it. Here in the United States, you can just about bet that we're all going to be subjected to it. They're going to give us a massive public propaganda campaign, tell you if you don't get this swine flu vaccine, you're probably going to die for sure. Most of it is propaganda. And it's true that they may be on the verge here of cutting loose. I think they're going to call it swine flu. I wouldn't be surprised, but what this is, a black flag operation. And they're going to cut loose with this Spanish flu. You know, when you go dig up a body and you go put this stuff in a bottle, there's a reason for that. There'll be an outcome to it. Now, this Spanish flu, it was virulent. And I don't doubt but what this thing called the swine flu may be just exactly that same Spanish flu or some variant thereof. Or it may not be that these boys are going to do it to us. It may be God Almighty himself is going to do it to us. I'd kind of prefer that God did it. That would make me feel a little better than being killed by one of these black flag operations. But, you know, let's wake up and smell the coffee. Revelation 6 says God himself is going to do it, or he's going to sit by and let us do it to ourselves. Now take a look at this Revelation chapter 6. I'm just going to flip over here quickly. This is quite a little story. And it's called the Apocalypse. The four horsemen of the apocalypse. Starts out in chapter 6. He says, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. So let me code plead this out for you. If you'll go over to Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, and verses 11, and then verse 23 through 28, this white horse is deception. Remember the scripture interprets the scripture. And this isn't George Gordon's interpretation. This is Jesus' interpretation. Remember, he's the guy in Revelation 1:1. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Remember, the Bible is written line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Okay. The answer to that first horse, first seal, is in Matthew 24, verses 4 and 5, verse 11, and 23 through 28. Now let's take a look at war here. Number 2, in verse 3, second horse here. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given unto him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and they that should kill one another, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. Now if you'll take a look at Matthew 24, verses 6 and 7, there's the interpretation given by Jesus himself in the prophecy there in Matthew 24. Okay, now we come up here to famine. Listen to this. Verse 5, he says, and then when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you hurt not the oil and the wine. Okay, so there's famine. Now go to Matthew 24, verse 7, and there's the explanation of this third horse, the famine. And then in verse 7, and when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and beheld a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell, followed after him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. All right, so this fourth seal over here, now pay attention here, we got disease here. Behold, a pale horse, his name that sat on him, Death and Hell, with the beasts of the earth. Now go to Matthew 24, 7 and 15 through 22. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the sword, or for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And it goes on, tells you a little bit more of the story. Now those are called the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Notice that one-fourth of the people on planet earth. Now the last time this happened, it took 5%. This time, when it happens, I think we're looking at 25%. Is that the way you count that up? Hey, that's biblical proportions now. That ought to just scare the living hell out of you. Now, I want you to notice now that this doesn't happen to you if you're practicing the law. So many times, you know, people send me letters and they ask questions, and they're kind of concerned. If you're practicing the Ten Commandments and the 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, and you're under 70, you're not going to die in that. Now, I'm 70. See, my time's up. For me, it's over. I'm a free agent. Now, for those of you like me, if you're 70 or 80 or 90 years old, hey, listen, we lived our lives, partner. We got our 70 and 10. We got our 25,550 days. Whether you were practicing the law or not, you know, you got what was coming to you. Now, for the rest of us, that is, or the rest of you out there, if you're under 70, you're entitled to 25,550 days. That's written into the contract, that Old Testament, that old covenant contract that Moses came down off the mountain with. You're entitled to that. And anybody that dies before he's 70 years old is in violation of the covenant. That doesn't happen. So if you're 35, 40 years old and you want to avoid this flu over here, you practice the Ten Commandment model instead of the Ten Plank model, and this won't happen to you. Now, if you were practicing that Ten Plank model, then you'd be practicing these 19 health laws, wouldn't you? Now, these 19 health laws aren't just don't eat pigs. There's quite a bit to this. Quarantine's part and parcel of it. Now, let me tell you a story here. What country in the world has the lowest incidence of AIDS or HIV disease? Okay, a little drum roll here. The answer is Cuba. Why is it that they have the lowest incidence of HIV? It's because they practice quarantine. Now, they're condemned for it. They're criticized for it, and everybody's opposed to them. But if you've got HIV, they're going to round you up and put you in a sanitarium, and they're going to quarantine you from the rest of the population, like it or lump it. So as a result of that, they got the lowest incidence of HIV, which just happens to be the biblical remedy for disease, quarantine. So I'm going to practice quarantine. When the rest of you people are running around out here getting your shots, and I'm going to go lock my gate up here, and I'm not going to leave the farm until the panic's over, until the disease passes. Now, the last time this happened was in 1918, and it started in March. And then it went through, let's see if I remember the ending of it, it was around September of 1919. So from March of 1918 to March of 1919, then April, May, June, July, August, September, about a year and a half, about 18 months. You may have to quarantine yourself for as much as 18 months. Now, you people living in the cities, you know, that ain't going to happen. And I'll just bet you that most of you people living out here in the countryside could not lock your gate and stay put for 18 months. But, you know, the rest of society is not going to practice quarantine, so that means that instead of quarantining the sickies, that means that the guys that are well are going to have to quarantine themselves from the sickies, doesn't it? I just thought I'd throw that out there for your consideration. All right, this is page 3 of a 4-page report. Now, this comes off of Mercola. Now, you can probably get a copy of this from the Mercola website. See if I can get to it here. Yeah, it's www.mercola.com. All right, now, here's flu crimes at the CDC. The CDC states that 135 children died during the 2003-2004 flu season. 59 of these children had received their flu shots. That's 43%. So if we go back to the 2003-2004 flu season, 135 children died. So you take a look at the 135 children, 43% of them, or nearly half, had their flu shots. So at least 40% of the time, the flu vaccine doesn't work. Now, just because it doesn't work doesn't mean you're going to die. I mean, you know, people get the flu and then they recover from it, don't they? I mean, most people, when they get the flu, they recover. It's very rare that you're going to die. But the point of that statistic is that if 43% of the people who died had already been vaccinated, well, then didn't 43% of the people who had been vaccinated not receive the protection they were promised? That's what it tells me. Now, somebody's going to say, well, but 57% did get protection. That's over half, 57%. Wait a minute. You don't know that the flu vaccine gave anybody any protection at all. What we know is that 43% did not get any protection. That does not tell us that 57% were protected. That says that 57% of those people were so damn tough that in spite of the vaccine, you couldn't make them sick. Now, I'm pretty healthy. You know, for an old fart, I'm not complaining. And I think that if you came up and gave me this live flu vaccine, I probably wouldn't get the flu, and I probably wouldn't get sick, and I probably wouldn't die anyway. I think I'd probably be in that 57% because I'm a tough old fart to start with. But I'm sure as hell not going to let you experiment on me. You know, there just isn't any need for it. If my immune system is strong enough to ward off even the assault from the needle and the live virus being pumped right into my veins, there isn't any need to tempt God now, is there? And hell, that's like going out here and digging up some guy and saying, hey, let's see if we can put this flu in a bottle. I don't need to put it in a bottle. I sure as hell don't need to put it in my veins. I want to stay as far away from this as I can get. Now, I'm going to take a little different tack over here. See, I'm not going to eat fat, blood, and pig, and I'm going to practice the 19 health laws. And I'm going to see if I can build my immune system. I want to see if my body can be about as tough. I want to have as many T cells as I can get running around inside my arteries. I want to get as much in the way of a natural immunity in my body as I can get. Then, if I'm exposed to the flu, all things being equal, I won't even get sick. Most people in America, you know, you got 300 million people here. Out of 300 million people, most of those people, over half, aren't going to get the flu. 36,000 of them are going to get the flu and die. A bunch more are going to get the flu and survive. I want to be one of those that's got a strong immune system, so that's what I'm going to concentrate on. Now, I'm not opposed to you getting your flu shot. Now, don't let me dissuade you in any way here. And if you think that's good and you want to go do it, you can get right after it. I'm not going to do it, and I don't want you to force that on me. I don't want a bunch of you political zealots out there telling me that I got to go line up like everybody else and get my flu shot. Now, let's start thinking this through for a second. Let's suppose that little Georgie Gordon over here doesn't get his flu shot. But you smart people, you real wise people with all the letters after your names now, you all go down and get your flu shot. Well, based upon our last experience, 43% of you are going to get the flu anyway in spite of your shot. Okay? 57% of you are going to be strong enough that in spite of the assault on your body, you're not going to get the flu. And you're going to credit that to your flu shot. Okay? Of the 43% of you who are going to get the flu anyway, in spite of your shot, are you going to blame me for giving it to you? Now, that's number one. Number two, of the 57% of you that aren't going to get the flu anyway, what the hell difference does it make whether I get my shot or not? You know, both of us are protected. And if I'm unprotected and I get the flu and I die from it, don't anybody shed a tear over me, would you? Just leave me alone. Just leave me alone and let me die, would you? Can you people do that? Can you people just butt out of my life? I know it's asking an awful lot of you big-nosed Americans, but I just wanted to throw that out there. Could you just butt out of my life and let me die from the flu all by myself because of my own stupidity? And all of you real smart people out there, hell, line up. I already told you. Hell, I'll drive you down to the clinic. All right, now with that much out of the way, it's just too much for the CDC to suggest that patients exercise and eat right. They would rather promote vaccines that contain dangerous chemicals and inject that into babies than to promote health. Well, hell, it makes more sense. Doctors, I can understand the CDC and the doctors and the pharmaceutical companies promoting vaccines. There's no money in building your immune system. Not one doctor is going to make a quarter off of me building my immune system. But he makes 25 bucks by selling me a flu shot. And by going to Congress and having Congress enact a law that requires all of us to get flu shots. Huh? Oh, and then we want to do that. See, for the elderly. As if those of us that are 70 years old suddenly turn stupid and we can't think for ourselves anymore. So we need all of you young bucks out there thinking for us and doing it for us for our health and for our safety. God love you fools. Huh? Now let me tell all you young people out there, I don't need you. Got that? I don't want you. Butt out of my life. Butt out of my business, would you? Now try that one on for size. Dr. Hugh Frankenberg, one of the most quoted biologists of our time, says that if an individual has 5 consecutive flu shots, his or her chances of developing Alzheimer's disease are 10 times greater than if they had 1, 2, or no shots at all. Anything like that? All right, so now that's kind of neat. Now, you know, you got 3 million people with Alzheimer's, and they tell you you're going to get more. Where did you people think Alzheimer's is coming from? Did you think that by sticking that mercury into your brain that that's going to enhance your memory? Huh? I mean, come on, people. Can you wake up and smell the coffee out there? Honest to God, do you people really believe that mercury in your body is good for you? Now, we got an outfit here in the United States for the rest of you people in the world. We call them the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. And they tell you that mercury is bad for you. And they tell you plainly that you cannot have mercury in quantities in the air, in the atmosphere, in your food, greater than. And that's parts per million. And yet, nobody says a word about putting 25 micrograms micrograms into a flu shot. I mean, it's hundreds and thousands of times greater than they would allow a power plant to put into the atmosphere. But the pharmaceutical company can put 1,000 times more mercury into your flu shot, shoot it straight into your veins. You can mainline that stuff. It's so powerful that by the time you have had 5 consecutive shots, it will increase your chances of Alzheimer's by tenfold. And you people want to stick that into your veins? Let me drive you to the clinic, will you? Anybody that reads that paragraph right there and still wants a flu shot needs somebody to drive him to the clinic. I don't think he could find his way there by himself. What it will do to babies given year after year is anybody's guess. And that's exactly what it is. It's a guess. It's an experiment. No one knows. There have been no tests conducted. Nobody's ever been shooting babies up and watching them for 40 years. Clearly, no longitudinal study has been made with babies on the effects of giving annual flu shots starting from 6 months of age every year for 40 years. Huh? Now, if you can give an adult 5 flu shots in 5 consecutive years and raise his chances for Alzheimer's by 10 times, what do you think is going to happen if you give a baby a shot at 6 months and then every year thereafter for 40 years? Huh? What do you think? Think maybe we can give him Alzheimer's? Sudden infant death syndrome? All right, I'm going to leave it there. I'm about out of time here, so I'm going to put my mark in the margin over here. Hey, listen, if you can use fear to sell vaccines, can't we use fear in opposition to them? Huh? All right, I'm out of time. I'm going to have to remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 120 countries daily over the Internet and radio. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact disc, and The Law Hour website is updated weekly. And it has a radio log schedule and archives. All of that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. Now, all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.